Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And it's just 10 more days to go for the big day, the 88th birthday celebrations of our most beloved Bhagwan. And the birthday celebrations actually started already with the Akhand Bhajan on November 9th and November 10th, that 24-hour continuous chanting of his name. And at least 8,000 people from all over the world were watching this live on RadioSai.org. We are really so happy that we are able to use technology in such a positive way. The effect that one prayer has is something, but the power that manifests when thousands join and sink in with the same feeling, the same wavelength and the same intensity, this power is absolutely something else. And we were able to do this during Akhand Bhajan. And I'm sure it must have been a very cleansing experience for many. In fact, just to make this festival of Baba's birthday a serious occasion for us to reflect, recharge and cleanse our hearts by Swami's inspiration and blessings, we have started this new initiative on our website called My Birthday Offerings to Swami. Some of you must have already seen this. We are urging everyone to introspect and look at their lives and think deeply. What is the one change that they want to bring in their lives which will contribute to their happiness and also make Swami proud? And we are so happy to share with you that so many brothers and sisters from all over the world, young and old, have responded to this. Even as we are placing them on our website and sharing with the world these beautiful resolutions, each one of them is so inspiring, and when you read them, you feel inspired. Let me also do something. And even as we are doing this and constantly updating our website with these new promises that are coming, we are also working on making a beautiful card with all these sincere promises and pronouncements which we'll offer at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan at his Mahasamadhi on the morning of November 23rd. On the Morning Glory program this morning, Sister Karuna shared with you some of these declarations. But let me now play for you just one here. This is by Miss Deepali Chaku from New Delhi. Fortunately, she sent us an audio file so we can actually listen to her voice and see what is it that she determines to do from this birthday onwards. So let me play this for you and then we'll move on ahead with this program.
Swami, on your 88th birthday, I wish to give you a gift. That is, every day I will get up early in the morning, offer prayers to you, do all the work as per the schedule, go to sleep early, and on every Sunday, I will take my mom to Satisai International Center, attend bhajans, and actively take part in the Sai activities. Swami, I hope you like this offering from my side and bless us all with your grace. May we always be happy as you desired. May we bring glory to your name. Jai Sai Ram.
Tere janam din pe Sai, tujhe koti pranam karenge.
And so on she goes, actually singing the entire song. You can listen to this entirely on our website, RadioSai.org. Just click on that link, My Birthday Offerings. And you can read so many such resolutions. There's another young devotee, Venkatesh Iyer, who says, I will exercise regularly. There's someone else who says, I want to learn tabla properly now so that I can play for bhajans flawlessly. There is Rohini S. from Chennai who says, I will serve little children who are facing hard times with their academics. Someone else says, I will quit drinking. Another says, I will become more merciful and I will become more patient. I will be more well-behaved with my parents, with my elders, and so on. You can read all of these on our website, RadioSai.org. And tonight also, we are going to add a few more. We have received so many responses, and each one is so inspiring. Each one really motivates you. Each one propels you to see how you too can join this cleansing process and purify yourself. It's really very heartening to see so many are determined to make a positive difference in their lives as they prepare to herald the birthday of Bhagwan. In fact, as you celebrate the 88th year of his advent, it will also be the 23rd anniversary of his super speciality hospital, of his medical marvel, of his mansion of love in Prashanthi Nilayam, the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, which Bhagwan so graciously gifted to the world on November 22nd, 1991. This temple of healing, as many call it, completes 22 years in a week from now, and miracles in this hospital have never ceased. The coming up of this hospital in just 6 months was itself a miracle, but from then on it has only been a series of medical marvels of love. Just this morning I had the chance to speak to Dr. Voleti Chaudhary, the director of this hospital, and he shared about his reflections on where the hospital stands today as we celebrate 22 years of its existence. And some very, very beautiful things emerged in this session. And that is what I am going to play for you today to start with. And then I will focus on one particular department of the hospital, the radiology, because this department has made some great strides in this last 1 year. And then I am going to bring you excerpts from a very insightful conversation I had with someone who's been a consultant to the WHO and the World Bank on health-related issues. He has 4 post-graduations in healthcare, also a doctoral research. He's a PhD, all in the domain of healthcare. And he continues to work with the Ministry of Health, Government of India. And most hearteningly, he's a former student of Baba's University, Mr. Jitendra Kumar Sharma. And we are going to listen to his perspective of what he saw here and what he is experiencing outside now, and what are the lessons that he drew while working here, and what is it that he can take to the world outside. And in the end, you are going to listen to another alumnus, Ashwin Venkateshwaran, another former student who has brought great laurels to Baba's hospital by winning awards at national and international level, awards which are given generally only to doctors. He has stunned the medical fraternity with his competency and his humility. So all this coming up in the next 90 minutes or so. But before we begin, let us pause and first offer our most prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most merciful Lord. Dearest Bhagwan, please bless us. Bless us with that mental determination and spiritual stamina to follow on the path laid down by you. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai S. Bishu, and today we are going to discuss insights from Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Puttaparthi, as it celebrates its 23rd anniversary on November 22nd, 2013, just the day prior to Baba's 88th birthday. And let me begin, as I told you, by playing for you the short conversation I had with the director of Baba's hospital, Dr. Voleti Chaudhary. He took over as the director in September 2012, and he shares his thoughts on what has been driving him, what has been driving the hospital in this last 14 months since he became the director.
Sir, I'm Dr. Voleti Chaudhary. The hospital completes 22 years, November 22nd, 2013, and you have had the chance to be the director of this wonderful institution set up by Bhagwan now for more than a year and 2 months. What are your reflections on the different developments that this hospital has made in the last 2-3 years, especially after April 2011?
Sairam to all of you. Yes, September 29th, I took a long, deep breath. It was the end of 1 year. And I wanted to thank all the employees in the hospital. And remembering Swami's word, we did Narayan Seva for all the employees, because that's one way I could personally, because I did get a tremendous amount of cooperation from almost everybody. That's the only way we could do this year what we have done. So, and that was well received. And so I could start the second year with all their, blessings. When Swami started this 22 years ago, yes, it was up to date. It was definitely state of the art. But a lot of improvements have come by over the years, and we were catching up with all of them. But some of the areas we could not, because they needed structural as well as mechanical interventions. So we took projects, and with Bhagwan's grace, I could feel it every day, every minute almost. We achieved the impossible. Why is it impossible? Yes, first of all, we relocated a whole library, and we even got a state-of-the-art academics room there, so they can have connectivity to. I'll tell you one simple example. The anesthesia residents run a daily conference there, and at the same time they could interact with people all over the world as a guest lecturer. Same thing happens with urology. We have Dr. Ram Gopal, probably one of the robotic surgeons that are our product, but helps, works in US now. So they can interact with him on Skype connection, discuss cases, discuss plans of treatment. And so like that, because when I always say that Swami made this a higher medical center, everybody emphasizes the treatment. Yes, we give best treatment, but we also give best training.
Yes.
We have 37 or 38 DNB candidates here.
Postdoctoral. Post-graduation.
Postdoctoral. Some of them are post-MD. Anesthesia, two of them we get post-MD anesthesia. And I'm talking about anesthesia, I'll tell you, this never happened before. All three candidates not only pass theory, pass practicals also. So we got 100% result in anesthesia.
Wow.
So, you see, what I'm telling is this spectrum of what Swami envisioned is not just patient treatment, which is well received, but we also do a very good training. And why is this good training important? Is these people may not stick to us, but wherever they go, where are you trained? Trained in Satya Sai Hospital.
And they become ambassadors of
absolutely,
this
absolutely. So that way, library was very important to us, because also when the DNB inspection comes, they want to make sure that we have the facilities, because now everything is virtual.
Yes.
So we need to have an updated library. Then our mother issue was basically lab. See, when we started this hospital, or when Swami started this hospital, we were doing 40, 50 tests in the morning. Now we do 400, 500 tests on any given morning. Obviously, that facility isn't going to hold up. So, and with Swami's inspiration, where we dislocated the library, there was just enough 7,000 square feet. We have the brand new library, and this library is set to the standards of NABL, which is the lab part of NABH, National Accreditation Board. So it's absolutely set to their standards.
Wow.
So we covered both. See, both making it up to date, making it also compatible to any guidelines. Officially, people want to come and see it.
Wow.
So that is 7,000 square foot. And we have an automated ELISA that's supposed to be the first in this area that does 400 tests automatically.
Automatic.
Very expensive.
Analyzer.
But we got it. Analyzer. Everybody wonders, why did you get this expensive equipment? Because it's automatic and it analyzes 400 samples.
And given the volumes of this hospital, it's
yes,
perhaps necessary.
Definitely. Now, if you see the way the whole lab is created, there is no waiting line, there is no people standing in the corridor. There is a dedicated waiting room for the lab, dedicated blood drawing area.
Yes.
And then this flow is very smooth. They are registered, and then the sample goes to the various departments, and they're all next to each other, all three of them. So it's just the flow. That's what we're looking at, the flow. There's no interrupt. Because once the flow is good, you know the result is going to be good. There's no loss of time. There's no repetitive movements.
You're bettering the whole process there, the system process there.
Yes, exactly. That's the idea. See, because once you interrupt, once you have no guidelines, how you take it, just a sample, blood sample. Because first of all, it's very important in the sense the right name is on it. It's all computerized. That's the other thing. And I mentioned, I think last time, we are have one of the most advanced information technology for any hospital. and we are rated level 6 when only 7 levels are there.
Yes. So one of the best in India.
Yeah, absolutely. No. One of the best in Southeast Asia. Not India. Southeast Asia. We are in the top 0.1% as far as the information technology is concerned. And the goal is what we call as 360 degree coverage. That means the physician gets all 360 degree view of the patient from all angles.
Wow, that's fantastic. And all of these directly or indirectly goes towards patient care. And doing the library, we set up a very good library, it boosts the academic environment in the hospital, and everything goes towards patient care, much better patient.
Totally. The end point is a loving care that's delivered to the patient with the least expense. But at the same time, not holding any limits. Which brings us to our latest joy in Maya. Another feather in this cap around here is the MRI we got. Now they tell me it's 32 channel and one of a kind in Southeast Asia, Southern India again. And you should see that. We had subsequent to the installation, we thought we will cap it off having a CME.
A conference.
Yeah. Continuing medical education. See, that's another part of it. You see, medicine is progressive. I was telling somebody the other day, I was reading somewhere, 30% of medicine we practice today will become obsolete in 5-10 years. Or the corollary, what they're saying is, 70% of medicine we practice today, we learned in the last 15-20 years.
Okay.
See how progressive this whole thing is?
And when you look at it in this light, the boost that the academic rigor has got in this hospital with this new library, etc., it really shows that the hospital in this way is in a very progressive mode.
Oh, different. You have to keep up. See, you cannot train a 5-year-old or 10-year-old information. So when you train, because this is the cutting-edge technology you need for them to train. And Swami has made... No, that brings us again. I don't want to embarrass the trust. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But they were so generous that they allotted 25 crores for us to buy equipment this year alone, in a calendar year. And we were able to spend almost 22.5 crores. So you can see how far it goes. And whatever is spent on top-notch, because we always get 3 quotes. We always make sure we get the best for the money we put in with a track record. And I must tell you also, these companies, they go all over board just to help, because they now have clue. Everybody outside there, they may express, may not express, but they know the quality of work done here is very good, though it is free. And that's one thing we want to get an official stamp by getting the NABH, which we should get in the next 9 to 12 months. And we're already laying roads on it. And we have a whole team of people just for NABH alone.
If you can just elaborate a little more on NABH, because not many of our listeners probably know about it.
You see, what the idea is, standardization. What you practice is in sync with the community standard. And community standard is established by an independent body. It's all over the world. It started, like any of these things, it all started in the United States. Where they have a joint commission for hospital accreditation. That's what we call it there. But here, it filtered in, they call it the NABH, National Accreditation Board for Hospitals. So this national board, it is set aside by appraisers that come and appraise any institution. And they set level of standard. See, what they're saying is, not questioning what we do, but what they want to know is what we do is productive, what we do is accepted. You see? So, they will not ask you how you do an operation. All they want to know is, yes, you have done this many operations, but you have done them at this standard level. The simplest thing I will tell you what is safety. What is the safety? Patient's name is recorded properly. He is admitted properly. And he is checked properly before he goes into the operating room. What do you mean by checked properly? That means his ID band belongs to him. He had a shower before. Where he is to be operated is clearly marked. And he had gotten his antibiotic. He has signed his consent. And this has been witnessed properly on our own stationery.
Yes.
There is a pre-op anesthesia checklist.
Yes.
So what NABH does is that these are essentials and we do this. But we've been doing all along.
Yeah. Now you get a sort of formal seal and a
certification. Seal of approval. Seal of approval. But there are a few things that they are making us do also, which is different because we didn't have to really do. We always gather information on our readmissions, which follow. But we should now do what are readmissions that are appointed readmissions and then unplanned readmissions. See, that gives you the quality of medical care. See, idea here is you deliver quality of medical care on a standardized basis. That's what it is. On a reproducible basis. Where you all know in business, there is this quality management.
Yeah, total quality.
And TQM management. Is there.
Yeah.
Swami is the best proponent for TQM. Yeah. Like that, we got what's called a CQI here. Continuing quality improvement. So we first say, yes, we do 100 bypasses here. Say in 3 months. Our mortality is 1.3% on an average overall. Last year. That is absolutely acceptable because worldwide the mortality for any regular coronary artery bypass is under 2%. So, and we are within that. You see? And then medication error. How many times patient got a wrong medication? One thing this is very interesting here is you don't want to be 99.9% right. No, no. Statistics show in this country if you are 99.9% right, there will be at least 100,000 wrong operations done. At least 50,000 babies dropped on the floor.
Because you're dealing with people's lives.
So the answer here is how much percentage you want to be is 100%. Like Swami always said, you know, he always travels first class. Whatever he provides is first class. So that is what we do. You want to be 100% right, not 99.999 even, 100% right. That nobody has to tell us, we know ourselves, this is what, you know, we do. So that is where, you know, you want to take the right kidney on every patient, not 99.9 times, no, 100 times you want to take it. That's what standardization is.
Wonderful. The hospital has been doing a lot of good work. But now you have a body appointed by the government giving you that certificate of approval and certification that you do confirm. Just like the university, they have the NAC committing, you know, giving a grade, A++ grade to the university. That sort of, for the world outside, it makes sense.
Yes, yes. I always said this. People always assumed cheap mustn't be good. Seriously, that's what they assume. How could you give cheap work? How could you get free work? You know, it must be cheap. It's not so. When they come, you know, I saw this guy, he came as an inspector, you know, all these, the programs. You see, NABH is an official one. Same way, every program we run for anesthesia, you know, for orthopedics, for cardiology, we have outside people come inspect the program. So, on Tuesday, I was in Whitefield when this surgeon came from Calcutta, and he was really impressed. He said, I haven't seen this cohesive, you know, program. Because there also we do very productive quality in a cardiac surgery work.
Wonderful. So you said the trust has allocated this huge amount of money this year and bulk of it went to MRI?
No, no, no. 25 crores. MRI is only, we bargained it. We saved 2 crores. It was actually, no, I shouldn't be telling these things. No, it's not. MRI is only, I would say, 1/10 of it or 1/8 of it.
So a lot. Many things happen.
Oh yeah, the lab has all new equipment. I told you, MRI, we're getting a multi-slicer CT scanner that is coming, and the entire monitor system that we're getting for the critical care areas is so interactive that the monitor can run actually what is going on. So it's an automated monitoring system. You can retrieve any information you want. You can follow tracking. You can tell what happened in the last 20 minutes, what happened in the last 2 days. Alarms can be set for any kind of emergency that you want it. This is what, you know, we're trying to. And then, of course, like I told you, the next, we have relocated the library. We have done the lab, which is wonderful. Next is we're updating the blood bank so that it is up to standards. Then we need to do our laundry and CSSD. So that is the way in which it is going to go.
Wow. Now, when we share things about the hospital and even now, when many times, you know, people who listen to this, they want to know, what can I do for the hospital? Is there something that I can be part of this mission of reaching out and helping the poor, which very few hospitals in this world are doing. So what would you like to say to them?
Oh, it's most important. Really, I'll tell you why. Because first of all, you should believe. You really should believe. Even after April 24th, 11, actually our work has gone up.
Is it?
Yeah, we have statistics that show. See, again, work output is both qualitative and quantitative. I'll give you one simplest example. We were looking at statistics at 2008 and early part of 2013 in cardiology. See, in the cath lab, we do two kinds of work. One is a regular diagnostics. It's called, you put a catheter, find out what's wrong and send him. The second is called intervention. Intervention means either you're opening an artery, putting a stent or putting three stents, putting a pacemaker or dilating a tight valve. These are all called interventions. The procedures look like about the same. We were doing about 220, 230 per month in 2008. We're still doing same about 220, 20. But when you looked at the mixture, see, in 2008, it was almost 60, 70% were just what we call diagnostics.
Mm-hmm.
Only 30, 35% were intervention. Now when we look at the list, it's almost opposite. 45, 50% is interventions and 50% is diagnosis. And some months, the interventions go even up to 60%. Diagnostics are only 30%. It gives you two wonderful informations here. One is, we are using echocardiography non-invasively so good that we don't need an invasive procedure to diagnose. Mostly all the congenital heart disease and valvular heart disease. Then the interventions are very involving. That's where any program comes out smelling good is in interventions. When you open a blocked artery, when you open a tight valve, when you put a pacemaker in, these are the things that tells you that a lab is doing cutting edge kind of work. So you can say that, oh, you're doing still the same 220. You see, when you look from outside and say, in 2008 you did 220, you know, interventions in a cath lab, and in 2013 you're still doing only 220, 230, it looks good on the page. But when you explain the shift, how the interventions are more now and the routine diagnostics are less.
Yes, there's much more to the story.
So that is how, but you know, even number wise, same thing happening with urology. See, if we look at the procedures, we still do between 14, 16 procedures on any given day. But the shift is so much, like the other day I was looking there, they were doing a case with one kidney, they're removing a part of the kidney called a partial nephrectomy, and then they're removing a stone in the remaining part of the kidney. See, this is what conservative, see, I'm not a urologist, but I, as a surgeon, I appreciate that. So, this is what we do nowadays, conserve, as much as you want to conserve. Because 5 years down the line, he may be left with only that 10% of one kidney, which still would relatively run a normal life. All we need is half of one kidney. I don't know, Swami gave us two kidneys. Why? As even my specialty, I know that you need half of one kidney. You can be a normal person. Half of one kidney functions properly. So conservative things. So now we do laparoscopic surgeries. And so you can see the shift not only in the quality, which is very, very important, but incorporate all these advances.
Wonderful.
What the listeners can do, a lot. They can do a lot. First, have the right information that yes, things are progressing, things are well, and things didn't destroyed or naysayers like saying we went down under after, April 24th, 11. No, we're still doing very well. That was my point. We're still doing very well. And anybody can do anything they want to help. It doesn't matter in any way. No, they want to say, listen, I want to contribute this to the hospital. I'll take care of one day's expenses of the hospital. Yes, that is fine. We're not asking anybody to go and beg. No, we have funds. There's not a question. But they can always reinforce. They can always reinforce. Because Swami in his foresight has put a big solid trust in the corpus that is there. But what is happening is two things are happening. One is our recurring expense is going because salaries. Salaries have to be increased every year. They have no choice because the DA six pay commission. Now we are in par with all the big institutions. So we follow them. Whenever the DA goes, the DA goes. It's a substantial increase.
Inflation year of economy.
Yeah. So they figured out in 5 years, operational budget doubles.
Yes.
Absolutely, it's doubling. We can prove it's doubling. So that is where the buffer the trust needs. So how you say, look, yeah, I belong to a center. We're going to run the hospital for 5 days. Wonderful. They should do that. That's the most proactive way, you know, they could do that. Or you have a center and we say, listen, we want to allocate this kind of funds to this number of patients. And they can identify. See, we can tell them, so these are your patients, this month, these are your patients. But say, we do 100 open hearts in this hospital. You can say, the 30 bypasses were done gratis, you know, this particular center from there. Or we have urology department. You say, yes, this many number of things were done, this is from. So that identification, we can make it for them, and it is real. It's real. It's not something they're giving into a vacuum and nobody knows. Because that's the problem with most of these donations. Even Red Cross, it can go on print, I will tell you, Red Cross still has infrastructure expenses almost, I would say, 55, 60 cents to every dollar that is public secret. Every dollar. But here, no, nothing. Whatever they donate is going to go straight. What's the infrastructure? There's no infrastructure here.
Absolutely. So there are so many ways anyone can participate.
Anyone can participate.
Wonderful. Finally, personally, how has it been for you running this hospital? I mean, you had plenty of interactions with Bhagwan. You've been coming for more than a decade now. And after Bhagwan's passing, you had this chance of taking over as the director. Now you do not have the chance of physical proximity of Swami that you enjoyed in different capacity earlier. So how does it feel now, sitting on this seat and ruminating on Swami and running this hospital?
I can only do it by example. The other day the trust member was introducing me to one other visiting surgeon, and I did say in one of the other interviews, somebody asked, what do you do? I said, I pray for Swami. No, I'll tell you, it's not ironic. May sound ironic, it's not ironic. You know, I've been around with him quite a bit. He has been kind enough to give me more time than maybe I deserve sometimes. But right now, I am convinced, seriously convinced, I'm doing this job only with him overlooking every minute. And no, I have no second thoughts about it. Whether I'm convinced about Swami's, whatever you want to call it, divinity, guru stage or a guide stage, before Mahasamadhi, I may have had questions about it, but now this last year and 2 months, I'm doing what I'm doing, absolutely convinced. Without him, I cannot do this job. He's there at every step.
So you feel his presence?
Absolutely, I feel. As I say it, I had a lot of questions before. This is very ironic, but I'm telling it because I may look like an idiot. It doesn't matter to me. But this may have been a little bit very oxymoronic in saying that I didn't believe him then, now I believe him. That's true. That's coming from the depth of my heart. I did not believe him completely, you know, when he was alive. Yes, because he was so accessible to me. That's the Maya. That's the yoga Maya. It was so accessible to me. And I could talk to him, whatever, I would talk to him. And now I see how my own life got changed. Because I had retired twice before. And I thought I would just come by and say hello to everybody and then go. And I'm here 1 year and 2 months now. And I see what's going on. Now, I am not responsible for this. Everybody comes and says, oh my goodness, you have a new lab. Yes, you have a new library. Yes, you have a brand new up-to-date state-of-the-art MRI. Yes. You're going to have a laundry? Yes. You're going to remodel the CSSD? Yes. You're going to get an NABH? Yes. And I can look at him and say, yes, yes, yes.
You have done it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one other thing. It's not a city. This is all done with labor from Puttaparthi. Labor from Puttaparthi. Every one of this is done from labor from Puttaparthi. It's not like Bangalore, where you can get anybody you want to get. It's mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling.
I think, yeah.
There is Ira. There is Ira.
You ended with that one word. Yeah. It is mind-boggling.
No,
it continues to be.
It is mind-boggling. Sai Ram.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. Oleti Chaudhary, the director of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Puttaparthi. And he ended saying how everything is happening in this hospital purely because of His grace, and he can feel Baba's presence now more than ever. And he also mentioned how the Department of Radiology got a shot in the arm with the coming of MRI, the magnetic resonance imaging technology, that machine. And I wanted to know more about this equipment because the hospital has spent almost 6 crores in getting this new machine. So I went to the radiology department after speaking to Dr. Vuleti and interacted with the technicians there. And they told me that how this 1.5 Tesla 32 channel MRI machine has so many advantages from the previous machine. In fact, it is so sophisticated that it can actually be programmed to do the entire scan itself without even a technician being there. No one needs to be there. The patient can go in and just like a robot. You have robotic surgeries. Now this is robotic scanning. This machine is capable of that. Plus, it can do a full body scan. So suppose a patient goes into the MRI machine and the doctor finds out that now he needs a scan of another body part, they don't have to disturb the patient. The machine can do everything. The entire body scan can be done without least inconvenience to the patient. Similarly, there are so many more advantages. It's much faster. What used to take 30-40 minutes can happen now in 15 minutes. And those of us who have gone through MRI, we would know how MRI is a very scary experience. It makes very horrible, terrible noise when you go into that machine. And now this new machine makes very little sound. So there are so many ways it is more user-friendly for the patient, and it has a much bigger space into which the patient goes. And the patient in this machine need not go in with the head first. His feet can go first, so that is more comfortable for the patient. And there is a bigger space into which the patient goes, so the feeling of being claustrophobic is much less. So like this, there are so many advantages of this new machine, and many technological advancements for get better scans, high resolution scans, etc., and also many other features to make the experience for the patient more friendly. And as I was speaking to this technician, he told me how he was so happy, he was so glad. In fact, I'm so proud, you know, that is what he was saying. I'm really proud to be working in Baba's hospital when we have such wonderful technology to work with and to help out all these people who, but for this hospital, would have no refuge. And then I had the chance to speak to Mr. Ravi Kumar, who is an alumnus of Baba's University and who is a senior manager of this department, radiology, and he's been in the hospital for 15 years. So I asked him, you know, having an MRI now in radiology in Puttaparthi, what it means for you, what it means for radiology, and what it means for patient care. What is it that you can do now that you were not able to do earlier? I asked him this question. And listen to what he said.
MRI as an investigative tool for clinicians the world over has gained a lot of importance of late. It is a more recent discovery while compared to the CT scanner and the ultrasound and the X-ray, of course. Here in this hospital, it has been a need ever since the orthopedics department started, especially the orthopedics department started. That was 6 years ago. There has always been a plan that this hospital will eventually acquire an MRI one day. As Swami says, there is a time for everything, and it seems 2013 was the year when patients around here would be benefited by the MRI. The radiology department in Whitefield has had an MRI machine right from the day the hospital started in 2001 there. That was because they started off with a neurology department, a neurosurgery department, and those patients must have an MRI done, either pre-op or post-op. Whereas here, that need became urgent as the orthopedics department developed. Initially, when it started, we thought we will see how many patients would require an MRI. And then we found out day by day, as more and more patients were requiring an MRI, we were sending these patients to Whitefield to get their MRI done. So obviously there is a limit on the number of MRIs that the Whitefield hospital can service for us, that is for the Puttaparthi hospital, because they have their tremendous load of patients themselves. And in addition, if they have to handle our load, that was becoming more. And the number of patients day by day who required the MRI was becoming more and more from here. So that was the primary reason why we thought it was high time that the MRI was installed in the Puttaparthi hospital, basically for the orthopedics department. Let me just tell you a scenario. Suppose a patient from a nearby village, many of the patients who are serviced in this hospital are treated who have ailments from nearby places. That is one of the reasons why Swami has set up this hospital, tertiary care hospital, such a remote place. Because the patients around this place don't have access to good quality health care. So imagine a patient who has had a fall from a bullock cart. We have had patients who have come in like that. He has fallen off a bullock cart, fallen on his back, he has injured his back, he has come to the orthopedics department, he has had a survey, he has had a clinical survey done, then he has had a CT scan done, which is what we could offer till recently. The CT scan shows that he has had some problem in the vertebrae, in his backbone. Now whether that is affecting his spinal cord, what it is going to do to his future, what it is going to do to him in relation to the treatment that is necessary for him, that can be diagnosed finally only with an MRI. So until a few days ago, this patient would have had to travel with the pain all the way to a Whitefield department. He could go to a place like Anantapur, which is the closest place, which has also recently only acquired an MRI. But then there is that cost factor. It costs a few thousands to get the MRI done. And then there is this pain factor, enduring which he will have to go to Whitefield. Now, we get a CT scan done. If it is an emergency, CT scan is the first thing. We find that he has a problem which requires an MRI. It is next door. Can you imagine that kind of facility which is offered by this MRI here? He is diagnosed 100% here. If he requires a surgery, he is taken straight away to the orthopedics operation theatre here. So there is no Anantapur, there is no Bangalore, there is no other place involved. He is diagnosed 100% here. So this is, I am talking about an acute situation. But we have lots of chronic situations. People with chronic back pain, people with chronic knee pain, ankle pain, people twist this, twist that, they tear a ligament, they tear a muscle. And for all ligaments and muscles and tendons, the best investigation is the MRI. All these people would have to endure the pain and endure a journey elsewhere to get it done. And all of them can happily get it done here in this hospital now. Now that, in short, is what this MRI offers now to the whole range of orthopedics patients. And apart from orthopedics, of course, there are the latest advances in cardiac imaging, which we are very lucky to have somebody like Dr. Srikant Sola, who is training our people to do cardiac MRIs. And then there are also cases in urology, in ophthalmology, and for the gastrointestinal doctor. All these cases require MRI. There is something called an MRCP, which gastrointestinal department requires to be done. That can be done here now, immediately. So this is a fantastic diagnostic tool for all the departments that this hospital and the general hospital has.
And very much in tune with the progress that we have made in the diagnostic tools and in diagnosing various diseases in various other specialties now.
Yes, as you mentioned. That's absolutely true.
So personally, you've been someone who has been managing this department now for almost 15 years. So how does it feel personally for you?
Personally, well, as Swami would say, you know, if you relieve one patient of his misery, you know, that is one smile put back on his face, and that smile would reflect on our face. So I think in that sense, every day when we would send some patients to Bangalore for an MRI, we know that, you know, there is something which can be done here, but Yes, there is always the question of resources allocation, but he has to go all the way to Bangalore for it. Now we know that we can do it here. We are not sending the patients to Bangalore. That puts a smile on the patient's face, firstly, that he's going to be diagnosed here, and that makes us happy. So yes, with regard to MRI, this is one additional happiness that Swami has given over the years, trying to be of some help in this department.
When you look at your entire stay in this department, how does it feel working here?
Working here, diagnosis is the first step towards recovery, we would say. So unless the clinician has a proper diagnosis, you're not getting a proper clinical treatment. So everything starts from the diagnostic departments of radiology and nuclear medicine and the laboratories. So diagnosis is the first step to putting a smile back on the patient's face. Then yes, the department has progressed tremendously from the first day in 1991, where obviously a patient who went for cardiac surgery needed a chest x-ray. So the radiology department started along with the hospital. So from the day when we had one x-ray machine to take a chest x-ray, we have progressed to having two state-of-the-art x-ray machines with fluoroscopy. We have state-of-the-art ultrasound machines to diagnose. And we have a latest CT scanner now, which is going to become even more latest. We are going to have a 128 slice CT scanner now. And we have SIAM machines providing the eye for the doctors during the surgery, either in the orthopedics department or in the urology department. These are SIAM machines which through radiation, because through X-ray radiation, they guide the surgeons either in orthopedics or urology to perform the surgery. That is also handled by the technologists from radiology. And the CT scanner and, what can I say, now this top of the line MRI. So it's a progress from a basic X-ray machine to an MRI. We have the whole lot. Swami has given this department the entire gamut of radiological investigative tools, as I would call them.
When you look at what the department does every day and your involvement and being part of this whole process of the growth of this department and in trying to help other patients, what is that feeling that always comes in your mind when you look at Bhagwan's picture and when you think about all these years that you have spent in the hospital?
I would say thank you, Bhagwan. There is nothing else. Because it is a feeling of gratitude. Every time we look at somebody, you would see patients as you would have gone around the hospital, you'll see the number of poor patients who come here who cannot afford even basic treatment elsewhere, and they're getting best kind of treatment in this hospital. When you see such people coming in and you're able to do some little bit, you know, all of us are literally like squirrels. See, there are lots of big jobs being done by the surgeons, by the technologists. Each one of us plays our little part in organizing things for the patient to get better. So it is a feeling of gratitude to Swami for having given this opportunity to be part of this huge service.
Wonderful. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bishop.
So that was Mr. Ravi Kumar from the Department of Radiology sharing his reflections on how it feels to be in that department. And it is a really a great moment for this department now that they have got this state-of-the-art MRI. And he is a former student of Baba's University. The other day I had the chance to speak to another former student of Baba's University, Mr. Jitendra Kumar Sharma. And he is someone who has excelled in this field of healthcare after having served for a couple of years in Baba's General Hospital and Super Speciality Hospital. After that he had the chance to go out and really do brilliantly in this field. He's been associated with the World Bank and the World Health Organization. And so I discussed with him what lessons he imbibed from Baba's philosophy of healthcare and what are his perspectives on what is being practiced here and elsewhere. So let me play for you this first part, about 20 minutes of this conversation with Mr. Jitendra Kumar Sharma. And this, it starts with a very elaborate introduction to Jitendra, and I have it here because it is important you know how this student of Bhagwan has really put his heart and soul into this discipline of healthcare only because he wanted to do something for Bhagwan. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to this special conversation on Radio Sai with Dr. Jitendra Kumar Sharma. He is an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, having done his graduation in chemistry, which he passed out in 2003. But after that, thanks to Bhagwan's grace and his perseverance to excel in the healthcare sector, he has done his post-graduation in various healthcare subjects, starting with his post-graduation in hospital management, which happened from All India Institute of Management Studies, Chennai, and then he did his another post-graduation in healthcare quality. This was from Academy of Hospital Administration, New Delhi. He went on to do his third post-graduation in financial management. This was from Annamalai University. The fourth post-graduation happened in health policy and health financing, and this was with Public Health Foundation of India, New Delhi. And after this, he went on to do his PhD in healthcare management. This was awarded to him by Vardhaman Mahavira Open University, and as part of the thesis for this university, he also did work for Walden University, USA. Even as he was pursuing his post-graduation in various healthcare subjects, he also had the opportunity to get trained in very reputed universities, starting with Harvard School of Public Health, Australian Patient Safety Foundation, WHO Center for International Drug Monitoring, Sweden, Pharmaceutical and Medical Devices Agency of Japan, and All India Institute of Medical Sciences, New Delhi. So it is truly an experience which spans across several continents and a variety of issues concerning healthcare. He started off working as the administrator of the Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital here in Prashanthi Nilayam by Bhagwan's grace, and then he moved on to our super speciality hospital here in Puttaparthi, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Prashantigram. He was here as a manager. And then he moved on to AIIMS, All India Institute of Medical Sciences, New Delhi, and he worked there in the Department of Hospital Administration. Eventually, he was a consultant to World Bank and also a consultant to WHO, World Health Organization's Geneva. Currently, he is a clinical faculty, University of Adelaide, Australia, also advisor to Health Technology Innovation Center, IIT, Indian Institute of Technology, Chennai, and also senior consultant, National Health System Resource Center, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, Government of India, where he leads the health financing and health technology divisions. So that is a wealth of experience in the healthcare sector. He has also been involved in publishing two books. In fact, is the author of two books on healthcare technology policy and several research papers on healthcare financing and health technology, and has also been a contributor to World Health Organization report to improving access to medical devices. So that is really a very wide spanning experience in healthcare, and with great pleasure, I welcome Dr. Jitendra to the studios of Radio Sai. Welcome, brother, to the studios.
Thank you, Sairam.
So it's really heartening to see that after your experience in Bhagwan's institutions here in the General Hospital, where you looked after the administration and also had the chance to work in Bhagwan's super speciality hospital here in Puttaparthi, you had the chance now to see the healthcare system in India at various levels, and also the system that is going on in various countries. You had the opportunity to study there, do your post-graduations there, as well as see the healthcare system working in different countries across continents. So let me begin by asking you, when you reflect on your days working in Baba's hospitals, both in the General Hospital and Super Speciality Hospital, what were the lessons that you carried with you as you marched on to other universities and institutions to study and work?
Vishu, thank you very much for welcoming me here and giving me an opportunity to have a talk with you. One small correction, that I never left from here.
Wonderful.
I was sent for training to All India Institute.
Yes.
And from All India Institute, I went to several continents on some sponsored training or other, and yes, I will tell you in detail how it all happened.
Wonderful.
But when I came back, and until I came back, I never applied for a single job outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew I am on sabbatical, I am on leave, I am on academic leave, I have to come back to my alma mater.
Yes.
And I came back, when I would recommend job to others, but I would not apply myself, even to WHO.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back...
That was in which year?
It was in 2011, post-April 2011.
Okay.
So, when I came back, one of the very respected elders, who is known for his genius and advice,
yes,
he told me that I would be more useful to Satsai Healthcare Mission,
mm-hmm,
from a place... At that time, I was getting an offer from World Bank.
Okay.
And the advice was that I would be more useful to the common cause of healthcare, one of very important dreams of Swami, from such a place than as an employee of a hospital.
Wonderful. So you actually never left Bhagwan's institutions. And I stand corrected. Thank you for that. Because given that you went to so many universities, I thought that you actually left. But actually you were on a sabbatical.
Yeah.
You went with the trust. Permission to study, and after that one thing led to other, and they were all the time informed of your progress, and they gave you that permission to pursue your academics in this healthcare sector. And when you wanted to come back, they said no, you be where you are, because
they did not say no. They gave me a very good choice, and that's very transparent and talks of a very pure professional behavior from their side.
Wonderful.
They're giving a choice to an employee whom they have given leave of years to come back or to contribute by going elsewhere. And with their experience being the best judge of the situation, where I would be able to contribute as an individual more to Satsai Healthcare Mission, and advising me accordingly, giving me full freedom to select either of the two.
Wonderful.
I think I'm very grateful to such legendary men.
Wonderful. In fact, it also speaks about their vision in terms of they are not restricting the Satsai Healthcare Mission to just the
four walls of a hospital.
Of the hospital. They are looking at it in its entirety.
Absolutely.
And because they felt that you could contribute to that mission wherever you are, and possibly in a much greater way.
These were the words.
Being in these institutions, I think that is what prompted them. And they didn't want to see, okay, how he'll be useful for us in this hospital
or
that
hospital. I don't think that kind of restrictive thinking can exist in a place which is committed to selfless work.
Wonderful.
And with that context that I went back and joined World Bank.
That was in 2011.
Yeah, late 2011, yeah.
Okay.
And your first question was, what are the striking things from Satsai Healthcare Mission that I remember? And I want to be very honest in my thinking. The promptness of decision making when it comes to a social good usually gets tempered with profit motives.
Mm-hmm.
So, if a hospital has to, and there are cases, and I myself visited those hospitals, when a very reputed hospital in South India established a robotic surgery department, not because it had patients for robotic surgery,
mm-hmm,
not because it wanted to create patients, because it wanted to break the backs of other neighboring hospitals.
Only out of competition.
Only out of sheer competition. Because if robotic surgery equipment comes to this hospital, by excuse of robotic surgery, the brand name will flourish and many other cases would come.
Mm-hmm.
And robotic surgery equipment was installed in a rapid 3 months. So it's not that decisions are not made in healthcare with rapidity, with promptness. But the motives behind those, that prompt action, is not always something very scientific. It could be something very market-oriented and commercial. Whereas in Satsai Healthcare Mission, and I'll give you two examples to justify my point. In Satsai Healthcare Mission, there would be delays. Satsai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences is getting its first MRI only now. So there has been a delay.
The MRI in Puttaparthi?
Yes.
But Whitefield always had.
Whitefield always had, and our patients always went there.
Yes.
But this hospital as a hospital is getting its MRI only now. Now, even if you call it a delay of any kind, I would rank these delays much lower than other decisions of sanctions that were taken with promptness. And I'll give you two examples. One is very objective and one is very subjective. The objective example is that 108 was not giving ambulance cover to inside ashram.
Yes, maybe you can tell our listeners about the 108 service.
Yes. So 108 service carries emergency cases in trauma care, pregnant women, respiratory problems, any kind of emergency.
That's a service under
a public-private partnership. The National Rural Health Mission runs it. It funds for it. And earlier it was a private agency. Now there is another private agency which works with government in various states.
And they do it pretty well.
Yes. And 108 only is only a number.
Yes.
The provider could be A in state 1, B in state 2, C in state 3.
Yes.
So it is not necessary.
So every villager can call that number for any emergency.
So 911, which is in US, first time in late 2005, this was conceived as a model possible for India. And I have myself seen the difference it has made when patients used to come in bullock cart, and in general hospital, the main gate is locked in the night. So asthma patients just going up the hill to reach the hospital. Now even deliveries are happening in an ambulance.
Yes.
And the ambulance are well equipped.
Yes.
In cases like organophosphorus poisoning or snake bite, you don't have much time because any snake bite could be neurotoxic or cardiotoxic. Now, in that condition, an ambulance has made a difference. But there were certain issues related to ambulance services within ashram, because ambulance service of 108 was not covering inside the ashram.
Yes.
Though the then CEO of 108 ambulance in Andhra Pradesh is a very nice devotee of Swami, and I met him recently in Delhi. But when I conceived the idea of creating two ambulances for Puttaparthi, equipping them
for the ashram,
and for inter-institutional transport, general hospital to super speciality.
Yes.
Now, and I still remember, Swami was to leave for Vrindavan. I submitted the file to an elder here in ashram, and he was supposed to present it to Swami along with other projects. Swami left for Vrindavan. I thought that whole project has gone to waters. It will not come up. For 2 days, I was so disappointed that I didn't even follow up. On the third day, because of some other work of the hospital, I had to meet this elder. And when I met this respected elder, I asked him, "Sir, I guess Swami has gone to Vrindavan. Now it will happen only after Swami comes back." He said, "No. When Swami was sitting in car to go to Vrindavan, now, just remember that I gave him the file only the previous night at his home at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
He is standing with the file and Swami is leaving for Vrindavan in his car next morning. And I asked him, "Sir, what happened?" He said, "I was waiting with the file. I didn't approach Swami. Swami called me and said, 'What is that?'"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Swami, it's a project for ambulance for the hospital." Swami said, "Tappakunda cheyandi. Don't waste time.
Do it immediately."
That promptness for an emergency requirement was not delayed.
Yes.
So those people who think that investments in Satsai Healthcare Mission is delayed for no reason, there should be a substantial reason for that delay.
Yes.
And given that healthcare technologies themselves are changing so fast, we are not sure technology on which we are investing today would be even worth it or safe enough tomorrow. It is better to delay high investment decisions, which has been happening very well under the guidance of Bhagwan through and through.
Yes.
I have seen
a lot of due diligence goes into high investments.
And those decisions that require prompt decision, those investments or those healthcare projects that require prompt decision, I have seen Swami taking decisions at tremendous speed, unexpected speed, to make sure that those projects come to. The hospital itself is an example. I mean, I would be too small to talk about anything small.
Yes.
The other example that I want to share with you is one day, it was 14th of May, and I still remember I was in my ashram room at around 10 o'clock.
And which year was it?
I don't remember.
This is the time when you were
in general hospital.
In a general hospital.
And I used to prepare hospital budget somewhere around month end, give it to Dr. Safaya, who is considered as father of hospital administration, and I meet still today heads of healthcare organizations who say that they are what they are today because of guidance of Dr. Safaya.
Wonderful.
So, Dr. Safaya usually has a very nice way of scrutinizing a healthcare budget, having handled what he has handled in his life, in his career.
He worked in AIIMS, Delhi.
Yeah, for decades. So,
yes.
And he has handled healthcare budgets of enormity. So, usually I used to make budget by 28th of a month. He would see it on 29th or 30th and send it to trust for approval and for being placed in at Swami's feet, and I mean whatever has to be given to the hospital for that month by 30th or 31st. And that is why we get salary on 1st. All of us, we used to get, right?
Yes.
Now on 14th, suddenly I get a call from an elder saying that I should keep the budget ready for next month by tomorrow morning.
Oh, oh my God.
Now, it is a pleasure to work in a hospital at night. I have done hundreds and thousands of days in nights and night duties, and I am quite happy. I enjoy, and even on a routine day, I would come only quite late in the night from hospital because of number of projects like neonatal ICU, laboratory, dietary, all that that we were making in general hospital.
The new initiatives that you took
37 new projects that were done in 2 years' time.
Yes.
To upgrade General Hospital to a very good district level hospital.
Somewhere between
2006-7.
2006-7, yes.
And with permission of Swami, as work was happening, we would eventually be late. Now, it was not a pain at all to go that night also and work late and prepare the budget. But before I would go, I asked that person, why are you asking budget tomorrow when it can be easily done by 28?
Why in the middle of the month?
Why? And that too in the middle of the night. He said, Swami has said, I will return from Kodaikanal only in first week of June. If I don't sign check, salaries of staff will get delayed. So if Swami is returning on 4th June and he signs the check on 4th June, the 1 week, which would be very crucial to ward boys, nurses, OT technicians who have a good salary, but they have a family to take care.
Yes.
It would be a pain. And as a head of the organization, a person makes sure that the budget is prepared 15 days in advance and he signs it before he goes for
so
a small
no
trip.
Put to any inconvenience.
I don't know if that promptness, that sensitivity to one's employees can be replicated anywhere. So these were just two examples, one of ambulance and one which is very subjective. Both, I think, stand out as lessons. The two things that I think are cherishable out of so many cherishable things as lessons in healthcare. Number one, clarity of purpose should be sound. In healthcare, if the provider's purpose is not clear, the purpose, sole objective, actual purpose of the provider of care is not clear, he is going to mess up situations and he is not going to give good results to healthcare system. And second, promptness. So, if the purpose is very clear in making a decision for a healthcare, in healthcare sector, in any field, any domain, and if the decision is taken with promptness, I think these are hallmarks of what I have seen Swami performing for his healthcare mission.
Wonderful. So, those were some of these things that you carried with you as you went on a sabbatical.
Oh, I think things just go with you. You don't carry them.
Wonderful. They just become part of your system. And once you stay in the system for a couple of years, unconsciously things just get into your system. So possibly you cannot help but see and constantly evaluate the system in which you're there with your parent organization, with Satya Sai system. Because in many ways the system is unique. And once you go out to any other hospital or any other university, you cannot help but, you know, constantly try and see how these two stand. Probably you must have gone through the same experience.
Yes, but I think it is not as hard as it sounds. One statement, I think people remember, love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never, and many of what Swami has told very vividly. But I think one statement, be clear, rest will follow.
Yes.
Somewhere, it doesn't stay in those list of highly remembered sentences, but is a very important sentence. In healthcare sector, if you are clear, the rest follows, and what follows is beneficial to people around you.
Well, that is true, I think, for any discipline, for any initiative in any discipline.
In healthcare,
yes.
If you have done something,
yes,
with a lack of confidence, or if you have delayed doing it, the harm done cannot be undone.
Yes, because if you are playing with people's lives,
it cannot be undone.
That is the most critical thing here. So what was your experience once you stepped out of Prashanthi Nilayam, working in various other hospitals and financial institutions and also studying in other schools of management?
See, actually I'm very lucky, and most of my trainings got arranged through some scholarships or something. So otherwise I would not have been able to study even 1/10. The thing is that I'm lucky because the smallest center of healthcare delivery is something called a sub-center in India, which takes care of the population of 5,000 people. 5,000 people, there is government clinic called sub-center. Similarly, there are other models in other countries. After the sub-center comes a primary healthcare center, which is for 30,000 people, and then a community health center with 30 beds for 1 lakh people, and then a district hospital for about 5 to 10 lakh people, and then teaching hospitals like All India Institute, research centers, institutes of excellence. Then comes the high profile institutions like Johns Hopkins Institute, where I worked as air medical transport system to make some projects for India. There are some other hospitals like Royal Adelaide Hospital, well known hospitals, large medical research centers. And then there is World Health Organization, which is an umbrella policy organization. I am lucky because I had the unique opportunity to see and work from a sub-center to a World Health Organization headquarters.
Wonderful.
So I have spent some time or other.
So you have seen the entire
range of
vertical range of healthcare delivery systems.
Delivery system. And each level in that chain has certain, if you do a SWOT analysis, we call it strengths, weakness, opportunities, threats, SWOT.
Yes.
There are various SWOTs at each of these levels. So a highly advanced system may have certain issues that a sub-center may not have, and vice versa. Now, when you compare current, or rather when you assess current healthcare platform today, the problems are not just of access, that people are not able to access care or pay for it. That is one set of problems. People are not able to access or not able to pay for it. The other set is, if countries have to fund healthcare, they have to fund out of countries' budgets, out of people's money.
Yes.
How much can they spend and what all for? Should they or can they spend for cosmetic surgery? Should they or can they spend for gender change surgery? Should they or can they pay for cancer? And every system is fighting to find out its own limits. So World Health Organization in 2007 brought out a report on health financing, which says healthcare for all, not for everything. Everything could be a goal, could be a vision, but path is through certain range of services that you can assure your people that yes, you would provide as a government.
The government cannot perhaps take the responsibility of providing healthcare for all in its entirety, covering the entire spectrum of diseases. So the World Health Organization has now said, we will cover healthcare for all, but in a limited framework.
Not limited. You expand gradually.
Yes.
So you define
start
yes,
off with
start, yeah.
With saying, okay, we'll cover all these
which
issues.
Is fundamentally being called as universal health coverage. But the problem is, this is from the demand side. There are some supply side problems. Such as in countries like USA, there is supposed to be a large overutilization of health services.
What do you mean by overutilization of health services?
So if a patient comes, if he requires test A, but you are not sure whether test A would be suffice, but if you don't do test A, B, C and do only A and something goes wrong, the patient will sue you and that would require other kind of cost of, managing the suit. But the problem is also that the patient is covered by an health insurance which pays for a set of things. So you tend to do things that are covered and tend not to provide him things that are not covered in his package. Now that is not compassionate healthcare. You can't see a patient through the eyes of an insurance agency alone, what he is covered for.
So if someone is covered for these kind of tests, then you just order those tests.
Yeah, whether he requires or not, to be safe.
Just you want to be safe,
yes,
as a doctor.
And if he is not covered, then you either don't do, which is wrong, or you throw the burden of cost of care on him, which is wrong. And a lot of overutilization is happening in various health systems. So, though there is a demand side problem of access and cost of care, and places including places, regions within India that are not able to access care, and in many other developing countries. There are issues of supply side also. There are issues where fraud procedures are being done and packages being claimed because patient was covered by an insurance package.
You are all the time constantly seeing what are the different ailments or tests for which I am covered and how to get the money from the insurance company.
So, when I am sharing now, these are my thoughts and not my organization's thoughts. Yes. or necessarily any governmental agency's thoughts. Healthcare, any amount of budget, any amount of regulation, any amount of provisioning, any amount of coverage cannot give effective, compassionate healthcare unless the heart of provider has changed. And first lesson that Satsai Healthcare Mission gives to its workers is to change their heart. But for which, even if the workers, the healthcare providers are placed in excellent systems, the ethical healthcare delivery will not happen. So we come back to the same game of transformation of heart. But not in a very spiritual sense, in a sense where you are recognizing the answers of your intellect, and you have the guts to accept what your conscience tells and do what is beneficial to society. Simple things, but for which healthcare cannot be provided. An enormous amount of effort that countries are making by providing more money, by providing more regulations, by doing more policing on frauds, it doesn't have any end unless that heart is changed and made compassionate.
It really boils down to that fundamental question, and which is true for healthcare, which is true for other disciplines, but more critical in healthcare because we are actually dealing with people's lives here. We are dealing with people's physical condition, which is so much related to their happiness.
And if you're treating somebody, and there are incidences when dead bodies are kept on ventilator and taken money for overnight stay.
Yes.
You are taking away resources from an eligible person who deserved it. It's a double crime. It's a multiple crime. And no amount of policing can change it. It's only God's grace and His blessings on the heart of the healthcare provider for him to do a compassionate care and not a calculative care which can change the scenario.
Not a calculative care, not a commercial care, not an artificial care, but a compassionate care. And that is what is actually the bedrock of the Satya Sai Mission. And that is what Bhagwan has been telling right from the day when he started the general hospital also. He said, I will not be happy if hordes of patients come to the hospital. In fact, I'll be happy if patients do not come to this hospital. Enough care should be taken to provide them preventive healthcare measures.
In healthcare, these ethos are enshrined from the days of Aristotle and Socrates and those legendary heroes.
Yes.
So, I mean, there is a dictum called non-maleficence. First, do no harm.
Yes.
Then you do good. So, These are ethics that are enshrined in healthcare, which has got lost to a great extent.
Yes. So that was an excerpt of the conversation with Dr. Jitendra Kumar Sharma, former student of Baba's University, who is now a consultant to World Bank and World Health Organization, and also works with the Ministry of Health, Government of India. And so many beautiful points emerged in this discussion, if you were listening. And it ended on the note of how there has to be transformation in the hearts of healthcare providers. Only then all the other steps taken towards furtherance of healthcare for all will find its fulfillment. And in this discussion, after this, we went on and we discussed many beautiful things, many pertinent things. We talked about the healthcare attitude, we talked about health seeking behavior, how it's so important for especially rural people to approach a doctor many times. So many diseases go undiagnosed. People not taking advantage of vaccination, and because of which there are certain diseases which could have been easily eliminated from the face of the earth has still not happened. We also talked about how every year 6 crore people are falling below poverty line in India because of healthcare expenditures. The healthcare bills are so huge in these days that it is because of this that people are getting poorer. Who were not poor are becoming poorer because of healthcare expenses. Because consultation is one thing, surgery is one thing, but post the surgery, post the consultation, the expenditure on the drugs, that is almost 70% of healthcare expenditure, which is called out-of-pocket expenditure, which means you have to pay this. And this is something which a poor person finds it extremely difficult to bear. And many times the effect of the surgery doesn't last because they don't have the means to continue the benefit of the surgery. And that is where we went on to discuss how healthcare is supposed to be done as a public good. It cannot be done for private good, for the benefit of few individuals, and the rest are left at the mercy of their pockets. Just like a street light is available for all, healthcare should be available for all without any discrimination. And that is where we talked about how Bhagwan has shown the way with the globalization of healthcare, with the concept of universalization of healthcare, the attitude of decommercialization of healthcare, and of course the spiritualization of healthcare. And these are some of the lessons that these temples of healing in Puttaparthi and Bangalore give to the world. And it is so heartening that today there are former students of Baba's University who, after having been studied here, or after being trained in these hospitals, today are taking this message out into the professional world in the healthcare sector. And one just hopes that this message percolates into various other sections, various other fora where there are discussions about these things, and ultimately it reaches and convinces the ears of the policy planners, because that is when we can expect sweeping changes in our country. And before I end, I want to play for you another short clip, and this is a conversation I had with Ashwin Venkateshwaran, another outstanding alumnus of Baba's University. What is interesting is he joined the Shishdasai Institute of High Medical Sciences, Whitefield, in 2001 when the hospital started. And recently, in September 2013, Ashwin received the Young Investigator Award during the Echo India Meet held in Bangalore. This indeed is a very commendable achievement, because in the 19-year history of this award, this was the first time it was conferred on someone who medically is not a physician. Ashwin has been doing echocardiography in the department of cardiology in Baba's hospital after Swami trained him in this by sending him to the US for a couple of months. And after this happened in September 2013, just 1 month after this, in October 2013, Ashwin again won a similar award, and this time at the international level, at the World Echo Summit, World Summit of Echocardiography, which was held in Delhi, October 25th to 27th, 2013, he was given the Clinical Research Award. He was the only Indian nomination for this title, and by Swami's grace, he emerged triumphant, another feather to his cap. But most importantly, it brought a lot of glory to Bhagwan's hospital, and he used these prestigious platforms to disseminate this philosophy of Sai Ideal Healthcare as it is practiced in Baba's hospitals. And in the midst of all this, Ashwin is also pursuing his doctoral research from Karolinska Institute, Sweden, which is easily one of the top medical universities globally. So I asked Ashwin how it felt winning this award and what it means to him, what it means to the hospital. So let's listen to this short conversation, and with that we'll bring an end to Outside Inside Deep Inside. Here is my short conversation with Ashwin Venkateshwaran. So tell us more about these awards. In September, you received this award at the national level, and just one more month, in October, you received this award at the international level. So how does it feel? What does it mean to you? And what does it mean for Bhagwan's hospital?
Well, to be honest, I don't think it was me. Looking back, I still unable to come to grips with the fact that these awards actually came my way, and I'm quite sure it was Swami who spoke through me on both these occasions. For me personally, this is a way by which I could say thank you to Bhagwan, because I know that many years I've been a student and then chosen to work at the hospital. I know that a lot was expected from us as a student body, and I still remember when I first joined the hospital, when I was sent for training, there was a lot of amusement that the doctors were trying to train people who had no clue about medicine to doing echocardiography, which is a very specialized area in non-invasive cardiology. And Bhagwan had such faith that we would be able to learn quickly and come back and serve. And I think looking back sort of goes to show that for God's grace to really flow, there has to be human effort as well. And a lot of effort came by from my side and my friend's side, the two of us who were chosen for this field. To me personally, this, after so many years of working in the department and actually being able to get an award that generally goes to physicians, it's just my way of saying thank you to Swami for having that faith and having the ability. There were many points of time in the past when I questioned my own ability, particularly in this field. And the episode that would come to me again and again would be the episode from the Ramayana, where when Lord Hanuman was asked to jump across the ocean and there were people who questioned his ability to do so, he just said, "The same Lord Ram who has asked me to do it will give me the strength to do it." And not that I'm anywhere close to where Lord Hanuman was, but I think in a very small way to actually move into an area which is really not my forte and actually do well with Swami's grace is just his blessing. I think to me personally, I've always looked at Swami as a mother and a father first and then as a God. And that's because I sort of grew up as a child around him, ran around at different points, came to him each time I had a problem. And so he was always a parent to me first. And there's also a part of me that really misses him very much physically. And I'm sure you and many others would relate to this, because he is everywhere. He's definitely with us. We feel him a lot. But there is a part of you that just misses seeing him physically and being able to go to him. And I think what I miss most is that when I got this award, I could only pray to him in my heart and be grateful and not really walk up to him in darshan line and show it to him and say, "My dearest Mother Sai, this is what I've done for you." So personally, yes, it's a way of my saying thank you to him. And to the institution, I think it sort of opens up a whole new vista for Swami's medical institutions, because for a long, long time, we've been focused on offering the best possible care to as many people as possible. And I think it's time now to let the world know that Swami's hospital is not just about wonderful equipment, a great set of staff, and lots of patients that are receiving care. I think it's also to tell the world that we are comparable to the best institutions in the world. And our work shows that. It's not, at the end of the day, it's not just the number of patients that you've seen, but it's also the kind of work that is being presented in these larger academic medical forums.
It's really a very, very useful visibility of the hospital's work.
I think so. I think so. I know that Bhagwan would never want us to advertise what we do. I've been around him when he has openly said that his biggest advertisement is the young mother that goes out smiling to the world, telling the world that she is now going to be able to live many, many more years to serve her husband and her children. To him, advertisement was always about seeing a poor patient go out smiling, knowing that he's going to be around for a long, long time. But I think there's a very thin line between advertising what you do and making yourself more visible. And if we truly believe that Swami was a mother to us, a father to us, and he has, in a sense, left with us his work to perform, it's our duty to take this forward. And as children, we would have new ideas. As children, we would have maybe a little, slightly more, if I could use the word, progressive ways of presenting Swami to the world. And so this is one way. This is one way to really present Swami to the world. But this world here is a world of rational medical doctors. And so to them it is, the Satya Sai Hospital is about excellent care, high quality care. It's also about care that is comparable to the very best that one can offer. And all this is being given totally free of cost to patients.
And I think one positive fallout of this visibility will be the acceptance of the tenets of the Sai healthcare, the principles of Sai philosophy of healthcare.
Absolutely.
Don't you think that is, there is so much need for that in today's medical scenario?
Absolutely. You would be surprised at the number of doctors, very senior people from the All India Institute, from the premier institutes in our country. During this forum, there were so many of them who came to ask, who came to say, you know, this is wonderful. How is this possible to be able to give such quality care to so many people and do such quality work? It's something which even the premier institutions in the country are not always able to do. And are you actually doing all this completely free of charge? It surprises you.
People still, they still don't know. Comprehend that.
It surprises you. And I'm sure a lot of people do know what we do, but I do know that a large group would know of Swami's humanitarian work, they would know of Swami's hospital, but they really do not know the extent of the care that's being given. And opportunities such as these are opportunities to just show the world that this is what we do. And it's received with almost a sense of awe. I don't think people believe that such a thing is possible. And a lot of appreciation and recognition.
So I think attending all these prestigious forums, the World Echo Summit at the national level, must have been for you also very, very sort of revelatory at times.
Oh yes, I think I lack self-confidence. But to me, it's never been, you know, I know that I will not be able to do it, but I know that Swami will be able to do it. And so each time I step into these larger forums and I see all these big physicians, doctors, you know, and each one of them carries a whole host of experience and long-standing authority and credibility with them. So I'm always wondering, where are we? You know, we are very small people in the larger scheme of things. I think to me personally, it's a revelation to know if you have the firm faith that it's not about you, but if you can, in a sense, keep yourself hollow and allow the grace of Swami to flow through you, big things can happen even from small instruments. So definitely, in that sense, it was a huge revelation.
So that is Ashwin Venkateshwaran, former student of Baba's University, now working in his hospital in Bangalore. And he ended with those thoughts, if only we all the time remember that if anything is happening, if anything can happen, it can happen through him. If we can make ourselves hollow, then we would become the flute in his hands. And I think that is such a profound message, and that is something that is worth contemplating on for each one of us, to think how we can cleanse our lives. And even as we discuss about the healthcare mission, we will have to think about our spiritual health, because ultimately this is what is most important for each one of us individually. Once we transform individually, the world will definitely transform. Vyashti Srishti, as Bhagwan always said, Vyashti Samashti Srishti and Parameshti. That is the cosmic connection, individual, society, nature and God. So with this, it's time to wind up. Outside, inside, deep inside. I really apologize for the technical snag that we had during the initial part of this program, because of which we lost 5-10 minutes, and we have the program today delayed by a considerable time. As I sign off now, you will continue to listen to a drama by the students of Sri Satyasai Primary School of Prashantinilayam, which they presented in front of Bhagwan on 11th July 2004. It's entitled Bharata. So enjoy this drama. Thank you so much for being with us for the entire day. Thank you. And regrets and apologies for any inconvenience caused. Please do write to us as always to listener@radiosai.org. With this, a sweet goodbye and a loving sidearm from all of us at Prashantinilayam.